I give you thanks. Let's give him thanks one more time. Yes, thanks, thanks. I give you thanks for all you have done. Oh, Lord, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I give you thanks. Let's give him thanks tonight. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Even our next breath, we thank Him for it. Because even our breaths are numbered. We don't know what the number is, but He surely does. Amen. He's completely in control. Certainly we're blessed this morning and believe that He's an on-time God. And believe we were served up what was needed. So if you'll ruminate over that and let the Holy Spirit apply it to your life, you'll see it live. Brother Robert, Sister Delia, it's good to see you here tonight. God bless you. Just a quick reminder, we will be having the Church Age study again this Friday. I believe it'll be our 10th installment. Sure would like to see a little more participation. I know that there are many of you that have thought, well, I've read it. Well, you've read your Bible too. How's that working out for you? Somebody has to teach you. You say, I don't need anybody to teach me. Well, good luck. Because God sent gifts to the church, right? And He will lead you into all truth. So, you know, there is, if you go through this Church Age study, there's no way that somebody can tell you, we're going to take you out from under the blood. There's no way you'll accept that or believe it. Not after going through this. If somebody says, I'm your husband, I'm the husband of the church, there's no way you would stomach that, because it's exposed. Every trick, every tactic that the enemy has used on the church for the seven ages is exposed. And Christ is brought into plain view as well. Amen. So if you really want to be rooted, you want to be on the same page with the rest of us, amen. So I've been in the message 30 years. Yeah, but how long has the message been in you? Yeah, I realize it takes a little humility to, but guess what? We've all had to go through that. We all had to start it. Jesus said, except you be as a little child, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom. We've all had to, excuse me, visitors. We've all had to be broken down to say, okay, God, teach me. Right? Just assume I don't know anything. If I already know it, I'm not offended that you told me again. But if there's something in there that needs to be purged, wrong teaching, we don't mean to hold on to wrong teaching. We don't mean to hold on to wrong ideas. Your prophet didn't either. When he came, he brought the right idea. Brother Branham said, that was wrong. Put it aside. Right? So it's the same process for the rest of us. So I'm almost begging you to come. Because you need to. On that. So if you do come, we'll cover page 145 to the end of the chapter of the Smyrnian Church Age, so second Church Age. Tonight, by God's grace, we're going to have baptism. So our brother Jaden Quinones Vasquez, he's from our neighborhood. He's been with us here for a few months now. He decided this morning that it's time to get baptized. And we've talked about it. And he said to me, well, how will I know when I'm ready? I said, you'll know, right? Well, this morning he knew. So we're looking forward to that tonight. Now, he's not here right at this moment because he's at work, but he will be here right after work. And we're just rejoicing with him. Excited about what the Lord's going to do in his life as well. Now, just one more thing about the Sweetheart Banquet. So I did look this morning. The first one that we had was in 2012, right? So if you are like me, you will be tempted to say, okay, this is 2023. 23 minus 12, that's 11. So we've had 11, and then we missed 2, so that's 9. But if you're like me and you did that, you'd be wrong. Because you have to count the day, the year. So you'd say, okay, well, I'm going to subtract from 2023. I'm going to subtract 2012. But you have to count 2012. So do it on your fingers if you have to prove it to yourself. It's one of those funny math things that it's not just this minus that equals this. You have to count that year. So we've had 10 in 12 years. We've had 10 sweetheart banquets. And you don't believe that? You got 10 fingers. You can count it. I did. Amen. So we're thankful for that. Thankful for what the Lord's doing. And thankful for every opportunity that we have to grow and learn and pull together and benefit from what He has for us. We don't want to delay any longer. We want our brother to come and take his liberty once again tonight. Speak to our hearts, whatever the Lord's put on his heart. So let's sing, I Just Want to Be Where You Are. I just want to be where you are, dwelling daily in your presence. I don't want to worship from afar.
just long for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He gave us that promise, didn't he? He said, where I am, there shall you be also. What a privilege it is to serve the living God. You know, I heard Brother David Seiler say something one time, and it just really touched my heart. And I know you all know Brother David Seiler. And Brother David said, I was over in India, and I seen a man who had made a god out of, I believe it was a piece of wood. And he said, I watched that man pack that god around that he made with his hands and set it down and worship that god that he made with his hands. And Brother David said, when I watched him do that, he said, I thought in my heart, I am so grateful that I don't worship a god I made with my hands, but I worship a god who made me with his hands. Amen. The Bible says we are beautifully and wonderfully made. Appreciate you singing that song, sis. Amen. I remember she's just a young girl down in Arkansas. She sung it, so it always was a blessing. Amen. If you have your Bibles this evening, turn with us to the book of Acts. I want to read from Acts chapter 28, starting at verse 1. We greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. And once again, we count it such an honor to be here with you folks this weekend. And it's just been so wonderful for me and my wife. And we thank you, as we said this morning, for the place you gave us to rest and the food and the fellowship and all the kind words and all the labor for the banquet and all that was done. And we just certainly count it an honor to be here. And I told my wife, I said, you know, I don't understand why somebody born so far in the East loves the West so much, but they just, something about the West, and I just love to be out here. And so may the Lord richly bless you, and if we don't get to see you no more on this side, I'll be looking for you on the other, amen. And let's just settle it tonight and make sure we're ready to make that journey together, amen. Acts chapter 28, and I know we have a water baptism, and we don't want to keep you long tonight, but we just pray the Lord will just help us with this thought. But we want to read now from Acts chapter 28, starting at verse 1. And the Bible says this, and when they were escaped, then they knew that the island was called Melita. And the barbarous people showed us no little kindness, for they kindled a fire and received us every one because of the present rain and because of the cold. And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat and fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw that the venomous beast hang on his hand, they said among themselves, no doubt this man is a murderer. Ain't it something how fast people get an opinion about you? No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he had escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth not to live. And Paul shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. And howbeit they looked when he should have swollen up or fallen down dead suddenly. But after they looked a great while and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds and said he was a god. How fast their opinion of Paul changed from being a murderer to being a god. When snake venom met faith. And that's what we want to speak on tonight. When faith was met. Let us bow our heads. Heavenly Father, thy word is true. I commit this congregation and myself into your hands for your glory. In Jesus' name. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Brother Branham taught us that perfect faith is the master of all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. No matter what it is, it masters it. He said, now watch, just when you believe anything or do anything, you've got to have faith in what you're doing. And faith masters that circumstance. When you believe anything or do anything, you've got to have faith in what you're doing. Therefore, when we come through those doors back there to the house of God, we need to come with this confidence, I know what I'm coming for. I'm coming to get a blessing. I'm coming to be a blessing. I'm coming to get healing. I'm coming to get deliverance. I'm coming to see my brother saved, my sister saved. Come on, somebody. We need to come through those doors with the confidence that I'm not a church member. I am not an organization. I am not a denomination. I am a son of God. Hallelujah. We need to come with the confidence that before there was a star, before there was a molecule, God had our name written in His book. He knew the color of our hair, the color of our eyes, the color of our skin. He even knew our names. Hallelujah. And He caused this one to marry this one and that one to marry that one to bring down to meet an image that He had in His mind of you. And when you come on the earth, He said, that's my son. Yeah. Hallelujah. We're not sitting staggering into this thing. Well, I just staggered into this. No, no, no. God brought you here because you had to be here for this time, this season. This ain't Luther's day. This ain't Wesley's day. This is our day for the manifestation of the word that's promised for us. Amen. Luther fulfilled the word for his day. Wesley fulfilled the word for his day. And we, by God's grace, will fulfill the word that God has ordained for us to fulfill in the hour that we're living in. And we need to have faith that God put me here for a purpose. I am not a mistake. Hallelujah. He put me here for a purpose. Amen. And I will fulfill that purpose. He never put us here in Laodicea to fail. He never put us here in Laodicea to lose. But He put us here to be overcomers. Hallelujah. And He had confidence that you would overcome this age. Well, it's getting pretty bad, but it ain't bad for the bride. Amen. We ain't going down. We're going up. Faith masters that circumstance. You see, saints, faith is not a hocus pocus. Amen. You see it all the time that people come up for prayer and it's almost like they want you to wave a wand over them. Well, I want to get closer to God. And just wave a wand over me. But you know, the prophet of God said, if you want to fall deeper in love with God, how many knows what the prophet of God said to do? Read your Bible and pray. Amen. So we see faith is not a hocus pocus. It's not a magic wand. Faith is not what you feel. It's what you believe. And faith has to have a resting place. Hallelujah. And the Word of God is the foundation that faith rests upon. You see, the Bible says in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. Heavens and earth will pass away, but not one word of God will fail. Then we can sit here tonight with this confidence that God's word does not lie. Amen. Nations will lie to us. Governments will lie to us. Politicians, oh God. They'll lie to us. And sometimes even people close to us will lie to us. Our feelings will lie to us. Our emotions will lie to us. Sensations will lie to us. But the word of God, hallelujah, the word of God will never lie to us. And every word of God is just as true as every word of God. It's either all true or none of it's true. God said, let there be light. Is it true? Yes. The same God that said, let there be light, said, behold, I send you Elijah. Did He do it? The same God said, I'll send you Elijah. He said, I'll give you the Holy Ghost. Did He do it? And that same God said, I am the Lord thy God who heals all thy diseases. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How does God prove His word? God proves His word by bringing it to pass. Amen. The prophet said, oh, how I love Him. He said, God always keeps His word. He will keep His word every time. I read this morning. He will keep His word every time. Not 99 times out of 100. Now, there's pretty good odds. I'd say Vegas would like to have odds like that. That 99 times out of 100, when you pull that handle, you're going to win the jackpot. Well, that may be good for Vegas, but that ain't good enough for God. 99 times out of 100 ain't good enough for a God, oh, hallelujah, for a God who cannot fail. But God will keep His word 100 times out of 100. And God will not make a promise to us that He cannot keep. Amen. Hallelujah. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you hear what the word is saying to you. You see, the Bible, it has to become a personal revelation. You say, oh, I can read the Bible. I know the Bible forwards and backwards. That's just being able to read. That's not even life. Life is not knowing the word forwards and backwards. Life is knowing Him. What is the new birth, Brother Branham? It's Christ revealed to you personally. You have met this person. It's a love affair. It's a personal revelation. Amen. Hallelujah. And you've got to hear what the word speaks to you. Amen. Then no matter what the circumstance is, that don't have one thing to do with it. Well, the doctor says it's bad. The situation's impossible. Circumstances has nothing to do with it. It don't matter. Faith masters that circumstance. Listen to me. Faith believes that God will work it out. I don't know how He's going to do it, but He'll do it anyhow. You see, faith masters all circumstance. And faith and love is a relation. Because you cannot have faith unless you've got love. Because your faith is in God, who is the very essence of love. And faith and love works together. You see, if He loved me enough to die for me, how many believes He loved you enough to die for you? Do you realize if you was the only person ever lost, He would have went to Calvary for you? You've got to have that kind of revelation. That's how much He loves me. If you was the only person ever sick, He would have took every stripe on His back for your healing to cover anything that you would ever deal with in your life. Amen. That's the love of Almighty God. Amen. If He loved me enough to die for me, then He loves me enough to heal me, to save me, to deliver me, to forgive me, to rapture me. And you have faith in the God who loves you and faith in what the Word is saying about you. As our sister sung the song, and Jesus said, "It's me. It was me. I am Isaiah's prophecy. I am Zechariah's prophecy." And you've got to have the same revelation. The Word is speaking of me when it speaks of the overcomer. That's me. Hallelujah. When it speaks of the rapture, that's me. Like the little boy looking in the mirror, and he got closer and closer. He thought he had a playmate. He never saw himself in it. He didn't know what he was looking at. But when he got close enough to touch it, the revelation struck him. And he said, "Why, Mama, it's me." And we need to look into the mirror of the Word until we see ourselves in the Word and say, "He is talking about me." Hallelujah. Faith masters every circumstance, because it's not what you feel. It's not what you see. It's not what you understand or what you reason out. It's what you believe. When you hear what the Word is saying about you, then that Word takes preeminence over every circumstance. Well, I got prayed for. 5 minutes went by, nothing's happened. But if you understand it right, whether it's 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 months, or 5 years, that's got nothing to do with it. Hallelujah. Amen. The Word takes preeminence over every circumstance when you see yourself in the Scriptures. Like Paul in Acts 23:10, when there arose a great dissension, and the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle. He said, "Boys, go get him. They're going to kill him." And they went and got him and brought him into the castle. And that night, the night following, the Bible says, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so thou must bear witness also at Rome." So where's Paul going? You can say it, it's all right. He's going to Rome. Why? The Lord said so. How's he going to get there? It don't matter. The circumstance don't matter. He will get there because God said so. Oh, Brother Darrell, it's getting so wicked. It's getting so bad. How are we ever going to take a rapture? The circumstances don't matter. We will take a rapture because God said so. I don't care what science says, man says, doctor says, denominations say. It will not change God's word. We don't matter. The circumstances don't matter. He'll get there because God said so. And on his way, there arose a great storm, 14 days and nights, and no man ate anything. Now that's a great trial, because you know how much we like to eat. Amen, brother. I thank you, whoever said that. 14 days and nights, and no man ate anything. But after long absences, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you, be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of many as a man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given all them that sail with thee. Why? Why would the angel say that to a man who was in a storm so great they couldn't even eat for 2 weeks? How could an angel say that? He was only saying what had already been said. He was just reaffirming to Paul, God's done said you're going to Rome. The storm don't matter. Hallelujah. Why? The word said you must go to Rome and be a witness. And God don't lie. He keeps his word 100 times out of 100. Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God. How many believes God? Then be happy. Why are you so worried about? God done said he's going to get us out of here. God done said he's going to take care of us. God done said we're going to have a body change. God done said there's going to be a rapture. The prophet done said not one bomb will hit this nation till the bride is gone. What are you worried about? Just be happy, for I believe what God said. Hallelujah. You know, I worked in surgery. Lord, I don't even know how long. What was it, sort of 15, 16, 17 years, something like that. I worked in surgery. Assisted the doctors. Did all kinds of operations. I can take your gallbladder out. See me after church. And when my daughter got hurt in the accident, I worked with the doctor, Cheryl. We worked with the doctors who was taking care of her. And they put the x-rays and the MR, they put it up on the screen. They didn't have to tell us. We worked in medicine. We could read them. We knew what we were seeing. And they were saving us. And they come and put their arm and said, oh, we're so sorry. We're so sorry, Brother Darren. We're so sorry that this has happened to your family. But your daughter can't live. She's hurt too bad. But sitting in the waiting room on the day of the funeral, after we buried Cheryl's sister and buried her daddy, and we were sitting there, and all of a sudden I felt a warm feeling come over me, and a voice spoke to me and said, your daughter shall live. That changed everything. It don't matter what the MRs are. It don't matter what the CT can. God said she's going to live. And when I went back to work, they told me, said, we thought you lost your mind. We was worried about you. Because it was so bad, and yet you was talking so positive. And we got among ourselves and said, he's had a nervous breakdown. He's lost his mind. I said, it's true. I did lose my mind. I got the mind of Christ concerning my daughter. Hallelujah. And when you get the mind of Christ concerning your situation, you can look the devil right into the face and say, back up, boy. Get off my property. Hallelujah. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God. It shall be even as it was told to me. Because God don't lie. And finally, the ship broke up from the storm. And taking pieces of the ship, Paul and the others got to shore. And building a fire to dry out and get warm, Paul, being a servant, let me say that again. Even though he's a church age messenger, even though he is a prophet, he was a servant. You see, people get it all wrong. The bride is not a servant to the ministry, but the ministry is a servant to the bride. The gift that's in Brother Doug's life is not for Brother Doug. It's for you. And God placed that gift among you. You need to use that gift that God gave you. You're not his servant. He's your servant. Is that all right, Brother Doug? It's the truth. Paul was there. He didn't say, now, boys, let me tell you something now. I'm the church age messenger. I'm the man around here. And I'm just going to kind of lay back. And you boys there, you know, that kind of played the instruments. You guys go get the wood. No. No, the church age messenger, the prophet. He was the one gathering the wood. And he takes the wood and he goes to put it on the fire. And when he does, this snake strikes him right on the hand. Now, this snake was so evil, so deadly, that they sat down to watch him die. They didn't even call 911. You'd be dead before you got the one dialed. They didn't even make coffee to watch him. They just sat down. This is a dead man. They sat down to watch him die. They said, this man must have done some kind of evil. He's got to be a murderer to escape this storm and now be bit by this deadly snake. How many more barriers, how many more obstacles could possibly be in one man's way going to Rome? Yet where was he going? To Rome. The circumstances don't matter. The snake bite don't matter. The storm don't matter. The ship being broken. How are we going to get there now? We ain't got no ship. It don't matter. We'll get there. If God has to send a chariot of fire, he'll send a chariot of fire. But he's going to Rome because God said so. Amen. See, this guy's done some kind of bad. You know, it's a shame people feel that way about each other. You have a little bit of trial in your life and all of that should be, well, I'll tell you right now, if he'd paid his tithes, that wouldn't have happened. Shame, shame, shame. Well, glory, don't get too many amens on that, but that's all right. Hallelujah. Let me catch my breath a second. This venom, it attacked the nervous system. It shut down the breathing. And they swelled up and died. That's how bad it was. And so they just sat down to watch him. Don't call 911. You ain't got no time. This is a dead man. And the venom coming up through Paul's body. The venom was there. Let me say that again. It was there. The snake put it in him. And the venom started coming up his arm. Where was it heading? Right to his heart. Right to the nervous system. Right to shut him down. Just like it's ordained to do. You get bit, you die. That's the way it is. That's how the puzzle works. So they sat down to watch this. And when it started up his arm, all at once that snake venom met faith. For Paul said, how can I go to Rome and die from a snake bite? You can't die from a snake bite and go to Rome at the same time. So Paul took the word of God over the snake venom. And if you'll take the word of God over your problem, you'll get the same results. Hallelujah. Faith in the word of God that said you've got to go to Rome and appear before Caesar. And when the venom met faith, there was no more poison. Paul took the word of God over the fear of a deadly snake bite. He just pitched it in the fire, gathered more wood, and the people of the island. It wasn't Paul saying it. It was the people of the island changed their opinion and said, he ain't a murderer. He's a god. My God, a man that survived that snake bite, he's got to be a god. Ain't that something? Ain't that something? That's heathens. Seen a man take God's word and believe it. And that word was manifested before them, and they said, it's God. It's God in flesh. So when a son of God, by faith, takes the word of God into his heart and speaks it back upon his lips, it's just the same as deity speaking. You see, Jesus came to make a new race. He didn't come as a God, nor did he come as a man, but he came as a God-man. God's ultimate desire was not just to be up above us and not just to be with us, but he wanted to be in us. What is true fellowship? Two fellas in the same ship. God and man united as one. A God-man on the earth who will speak to the elements and the elements will obey him. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, this man ain't a murderer. He's a God. When venom met faith. I think of the three Hebrew children who stayed true to God's word. They would not bow their knee to the king's commandment. And he heated up the furnace 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated before. It was so hot. Think of the insanity. He was so upset. He made the furnace so hot that it killed the men who threw them in it. He lost some of his own people trying to kill God's people. Oh God. They burned their own men trying to kill these three Hebrew children. And let me say to the devil tonight, the devil will destroy his own kingdom trying to stop this bride. But I want him to know he will never stop this bride. Can I get an amen? He will never stop this bride. She is unstoppable. And they threw those boys in the fire. And they testified, our God is able to deliver us from this fiery furnace. Now the three Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were the seed of Abraham. And they had a promise of God that his seed would possess the enemy's gates. The king's fiery furnace met faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God told their father Abraham, that your seed will possess the gate of your enemies. And they said, we've got a promise of God. They throw us in this fire, but God said, we are the gatekeepers. Let me say that again. The devil ain't the gatekeeper. He don't even have the key to his own house. Who is the gatekeeper? You are. We're the seed of Abraham, the royal seed of Abraham through Christ. And he gave us a promise. Your seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And they went into the fiery furnace believing what God told their father Abraham. And when faith in what God said to Abraham met the fiery furnace, God took the heat and the fire, the heat and the smoke out of the fire. Let me say that again. God took the heat and the smoke out of the fire. You see, he never took the fire out. Think about it. He never took the fire. If the king had looked in there, the furnace, Brother Henry, and said, well, boys, I don't see no fire. You better light it again. But when he looked in there, he saw fire. But the fire had no heat. Because when the fire met faith, faith took the heat and the smoke out of the fire. Amen. That's the kind of God we serve. He turns water into wine and he takes the heat out of the fire. What about Daniel? Thrown into a lion's den. And them lions knew they had an easy meal. A happy meal. Nowhere for the man to go. He didn't order it to go because he couldn't go. He said, will you be eating in tonight? Oh, yes, we're eating. This ain't to go. We're eating in. You see, no doubt, those lions had ate several men in their life. They had been thrown to, who had been thrown into the lion's den. So they had an appetite for human flesh. And when they saw Daniel, they thought, oh, my, this is going to be good. But when the hungry lions met faith, faith locked their jaws. Everybody said, when that pillar of fire stood between Daniel and the lions went off and meowed like kittens and laid down by faith the unseen. Daniel wasn't afraid of the lions because he trusted in the God who masters all circumstances. And when hungry lions who had ate men before met faith, they purred like kittens. Meow, meow. King said, my God, what's wrong with my lions? Meow. Amen. You know what the Bible says? The devil comes as a roaring lion. He ain't a lion. He just acts like one. But you need to remind him, you ain't a lion. You just a kitten. Put that on your refrigerator. That's pretty good. Hallelujah. When the woman with the blood issue 12 years and the bleeding would not stop. Spent all of her money. The doctors, after spending all of her money, the doctor said they couldn't help her. But when she saw Jesus pressing through the crowd, she believed that Jesus was the Christ. And she said, if I can only touch the hem of his garment. She believed if she touched him, she'd get what she asked for. And she slipped through the crowd and she reached over. Notice, she must have not have been a big woman because the Bible said she didn't reach over. She didn't touch his back. She didn't touch his hair. She didn't touch his hand. She touched the hem of his garment. So no doubt she was small in stature and all the people around him, but she was determined to touch him. So she reached through, no doubt, through the legs of the people. And as soon as she touched him, Jesus stood still. But she'd done that. Oh my. She'd done that believing that what she said would happen. She said, if I but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Amen. Notice who said that. Who said that? Jesus never said that. Jesus never said, now listen, I know you've had trouble, but if you'll just touch my garment, you'll be well. It wasn't Jesus who said that. Neither was it Peter who said, now look, I've hunted with him. I've been with him. You know, I've been in all of his meetings. Here's what you got to do now. You just listen to me. I'm his bosom buddy. Just reach to the crowd, touch his garment. You'll be made whole. It wasn't Peter who told that. It wasn't Jesus who said that. It wasn't Peter who said it. Who said if I touch the hem of his garment? She said it. And her faith in Christ, oh God, it brought her own words into manifestation. That's why you don't need to talk negative. You need to talk positive. I am an overcomer. I am a son of God. I am a believer. God will make your own body obey your confession. Think about that. Her faith in Christ caused her own words. Her own words. The word of a woman. We don't even know her name. But the word of a woman with a blood issue became the very word of God. Well, either you're in shock or you didn't understand that. Her words that she spoke. Peter didn't say it. Jesus didn't say it. She said it. Her very words, if I but touch the hem of his garment, became the very word of God we read today. When a son and daughter of God, by faith, takes the word into the heart, speaks it back upon, it's just the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to move, amen. Her faith that he was the Christ brought her own words into manifestation. And when a blood issue that eluded the doctors for 12 years met faith, the bleeding stopped. Because faith masters every circumstance. I think of Joshua. God told him to march around the walls of Jericho and they would fall before him. The walls of Jericho. They said you could run chariot races around the top of them. Them great big walls. Some estimate they were 46 foot high and 80 foot thick. If you remember, Rahab's house was sitting on top of the wall. Is that right? You're not sure yet. It was. Amen. And the prophet said when the walls came down, it didn't even rattle the dishes in her house. God just set it right on the ground. Walls, 46 foot high, 80 foot thick. And God said, Joshua, go up there, march around so many times, sound a trumpet, let out a shout, and the walls are going to fall down. You're telling me you want me to walk up there, march around the wall so many times, blow a trumpet and shout, and they're going to fall down. That's so crazy, you can't even amen that. That's about the silliest thing you've ever heard in your life. Just be honest. You want me to go up there, march around, blow a trumpet, shout, and they're going to fall down. You want me to take a wrecking bar? Nope. Backhoe? Nope. Bulldozer. Case of dynamite. No. Well, what do I need? Just obedience to my word. March, blow a trumpet, and shout. Well, that's about it. That would be the silliest thing to the carnal mind. That would be so silly. And think about this. Joshua knew how thick the walls was because the prophet said he built plenty of walls down in Egypt. He knew the cement that was in them. He knew how tight they were and how they were held together. He knew they ran chariot races on top of even houses. Joshua knew all of this, but God asked him, cast down your understanding. Cast down your engineering ability. Cast down everything that Egypt taught you about building walls and listen to me. He did not lean to his own understanding. He believed that what God said was the truth. And he obeyed his word. And when he obeyed his word, the walls fell down. Leaning not to his own understanding. You see, Joshua looked at the unseen and he walked around walls believing it would happen. You see, it all depends on what you're looking at. Don't see the storm, see the sun. And when walls 46 foot high and 80 foot thick met faith, the walls came down. Jairus' daughter lay dead. And the mourners gathered to mourn. And they said, trouble not the master anymore. Your little girl is dead. Such a finality in that word, huh? Your little girl is dead. But you see, Jesus gave Jairus the remedy to every bad report. Let me say that again. Jesus gave Jairus the remedy to every bad report when he touched him on the shoulder and said, only believe. You don't have to figure it out, reason it out, work it out. Just commit it to God. Believe what God said he would do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was up in Cottonwood, Arizona here a couple of years ago, I guess it was. And I took a little thought on a witness of his majesty and just shared with some of the people some of the things I've seen the Lord do down through the years. And I told the people I had nothing to do with it. I was just there when it happened. I'm a witness to what I've seen the Lord do. And there was a sister sitting there in the service who had a tumor on her chest. And she was putting some kind of ointment, essential oils and stuff like that, trying to heal up this wound that was on her chest. And she was sitting there just rejoicing over the things that God had done. She never got prayed for. She never come up for prayer. She just simply sat there in the congregation and was praising God for the things that God had done. She goes home. She testified, I went home and took my blouse off to put the ointment on the tumor that was on my chest, and it was gone. It disappeared during the service. That's the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just believe. Just simply believe, God, I don't know how you're going to do it. It don't matter how you do it. I'm just believing you're going to do it. You're going to save that boy. You're going to find that daughter. You're going to bring her back. I'm believing it, God. I'm believing it against everything. I don't care how bad it gets, how bad they get. It will never stop me from believing that God at any time can do something. After all, he done it for you. If he done it for you, he can do it for them. Hallelujah. Jesus, standing at the grave of Lazarus, a man that had been dead 4 days, corruption had done set in. Even his sister said, Lord, he stinks. But when a dead man met a man who had faith in what the word said he was, death gave way to life. When he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. The maniac of Gadara, the demons had him bound. The Bible says he lived among the tombs and he cut himself with stones. We still have them today. Cutters. Oh yeah, they're right here in the message. Oh yeah, oh yes they are. I've been prayed for many of them. Cutters. Matter of fact, I was in a meeting one time and there was a young girl there who had been a cutter and she had scars on her arms from cutting herself. And the service was prayers of God just began to move among the people like it did here this morning. And the people began to worship God. And this sister said, I want to worship you, God, but I'm ashamed of these scars. I want to raise my hands, but I don't want people to see these scars. And she said, a voice spoke to her and said, raise your arms and give me praise. And when she raised her arms to give God praise, the scars disappeared off of her arms, because that's the kind of God we serve. That's the God we serve. Hallelujah. He turns water into wine. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He cut himself with stones, and they tried to chain him. They tried to tame him. They tried to make him a church member. They tried to make him a message believer. They gave him a belt buckle. They gave him a picture of the cloud. They gave him a message book. But what he needed was Jesus. Hallelujah. And he would do okay for a while. He'd come for a while. And the next thing you know, he would tear off his clothes and he'd go back among the tombs again. And the Bible said no man could tame him. But what man could not do, faith could do. Hallelujah. What brought Jesus to the Gadareans? It wasn't the mayor. It wasn't an organization that invited him. It wasn't the pig farmers. They never asked him to come. They asked him to leave. What brought Jesus? What invited him to the shore of the Gadareans? What was it? Not the mayor, not a denomination, not the pig farmers. It was a maniac living in the tombs, cutting his flesh, ripping off his clothes. But you see, he wanted help. This needy soul was crying out for deliverance. And Jesus, on the other side of the sea, heard his invite of faith. He never heard his audible voice. It wasn't his audible voice that got Jesus' attention. He said, boys, I hear somebody screaming. Where's that screaming coming from? It wasn't his voice. It was his faith. He was on the other side of the sea, but he heard his invite of faith. And Jesus crossed the stormy sea to get to him. And the prophet said, he's the same tonight. He'll come from glory for one needy soul in this humble church tonight. Same one. He'll every time come to where he's wanted. But he never comes to where he's doubted. Well, I don't know if it'll work for me. Don't worry. He'll never be at your door. With that kind of attitude, he'll never show up. But if you want him, he'll come. The prophet said he keeps all his appointments. You ask him to come, he'll come. But you see, a lot of times when he comes, it's not in the way we think he should come. But it don't matter how he comes. When he comes, he's come. Amen. Oh my. Can I have just a few more minutes? Listen. You remember in Jonesboro, Arkansas, the black girl that was blind? You know the story. And the prophet of God, he said there at Jonesboro that he had vowed that he would pray for everybody. And said after 7 days, I believe it was, 8 days and nights, sitting there at the pulpit, he said at the end of those 8 days, there was as many to pray for as there was the first day. Because the people had heard there was a man who was praying for the sick. God was hearing his prayer and they were getting healed. So they come from everywhere. And this girl's father got the money, you know, and they came up from Memphis up to Jonesboro, Arkansas, which is, I think, about 3 hours, something like that, on a bus to be there to be prayed for. And the prophet of God was inside. They brought a woman in with an ambulance that was dead. And they took Brother Brenham out of the building, through the crowd, put him up in the ambulance. He prayed for the woman. God raised her up. He come out of the ambulance and said, Brother Brandon, we'll never get you back in the way you come. There's so many people out here in the parking lot. We've got to bring you around this way. But the prophet said, you see how God works things just right. And he come around there and met that girl. And God opened her eyes. You know the story. But as I was listening to that, this is what caught me. It was so wonderful to me. Because here was all these people out in this parking lot. So many they couldn't even get him back in the building. And they were there for one purpose, was to get that man to pray for them. They didn't have monitors like we got. They didn't have iPhones. They didn't know what the man looked like. They didn't know whether he's tall, skinny, black, white, yellow. They didn't know. All they know, there's a man in there praying for the sick and God's healing them. And the very one they come to see, the very one that they stood in the rain for 3 days, some of them, to be prayed for, was passing right among them. He might have stepped on somebody's foot and said, oh, I'm sorry. There's just so many people. And I hope I didn't hurt you. I'm trying to get back around this way. And they might have had an attitude. Would you get out of my way? I'm trying to get in there and see this man. And the very one they was wanting to see was passing right among them. And they failed to recognize it. And while I was thinking about that, Brother Doug, I thought, how many times has Jesus passed right through our service and we failed to see him because it wasn't our favorite preacher? And yet we say, oh, we want to see you. We sing those songs. I want to see Jesus. But you can only see him in the manifestation of the word for your hour. When you find the word for your day being manifested, you have found Christ, regardless of what the book like looks like. Hallelujah. Brother Branham said, he'll come every time to where he's wanted, but he never comes to where he's doubting. So if you're doubting, just remember, he'll never be at your door. But if you love him and want him, he'll come any time you call for him. He's ready to come. He heard the maniac's cry of faith. And if you heard his cry of faith, he will hear your cry of faith. The storm could not stop Jesus from coming. It could not drown out that cry of faith. There is nothing that Satan has that can stop faith from touching Jesus. Huh? Don't we sing that song? Touching Jesus is all that really matters. And then your life will never be the same. Well, there's only one way to touch him. You must believe when you call on his name. Amen. Hallelujah. And when faith from an honest heart meets God, them cogs come together like that. Something has to take place. He said, I challenge this audience tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Let your faith connect with God like that. And in a few minutes, you'll have another Pentecost. There'll be such a revival breakout in this town. There won't be enough cops in the country to keep them down. That's right. There'll be a real revival when your faith meets God. Amen. You know, people's got it so wrong. You know, do you know you don't go to hell because you're a sinner? Well, hang on. You don't go to hell because you're a sinner. We can't help the way we was born. David said, we shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies. You got nothing to do. If I had my choice, I'd have never come that way. You would have never, but we had no choice. It's for the union. Amen. So we don't go to hell because you're a sinner. You go to hell because you refuse to accept the way away from hell. There's a bypass, and that's Christ. There's a bypass from your sickness, a quick death, a premature grave, and that's through Christ. You sinned in the beginning, and Christ died for your sins. Therefore, he saved you when he died. He saved you, and he healed you when he died, for he took your place. Now, all you have to do is accept it by faith, and you'll receive it. See what I mean now? There's nothing more to be done, because your healing is already paid for. You can have it right this afternoon. You can have it right now, this very minute, when you believe it, when your faith meets God's requirements. It's already been paid for. Now, here not long ago, Cheryl and Jessica and I, we was in a restaurant. And when we got done with the meal, the waitress come by and she said, will there be anything else? I said, no, ma'am, if you'll just bring the ticket. And she said, well, somebody saw you in here and they paid for your meal. And I said, really? She said, yes. I said, well, let me leave the tip. She said, no, they put the tip on it. The tip, everything, it's already been took. It's all took care of. So if there's nothing else, you can go. Now, you see, I could have looked around and said, ma'am, I don't see nobody in this restaurant that I know. You sure you got the right table? Maybe you're mistaken. Maybe you want me to get up and walk out so you can pull that button right there and say, I'm trying to steal the steak. I could have argued till I was blue in the face. I could have tried my best. No, I'm going to put those. No, I'm paying for it. I'm not taking no chance. I could have stayed there for hours and argued. Or I could have simply accepted that it had been paid for and said thank you and walked out with a good steak in my belly. Now, that's in the natural. But that type, oh God, that's a perfect type of what the prophet's saying. You're already healed. I don't know. The doctor says it's so bad. And look how bad the MRI is. And I've still got the pain in my toe. It don't matter. If you can receive it, it's yours. Hallelujah. If God gave it to you, just receive it. Don't argue it. Don't figure it out. Well, it didn't come when I got prayed for. If it takes 10 years, just be found believing. The time has nothing to do with the healing. Hey, hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's done been paid for. Your healing's already paid for. You can have it right this afternoon. You can have it right now, this very minute, when you believe it, when your faith meets God's requirements. Now, let me drop this in right before we close. I want to look at the difference between hope and faith. It's amazing how close they are. Now watch this. Hope. Hope will agree with the Bible. Hope will say it's true. Hope will say, I believe every bit of it. Now, every one of us is on board right now. Every person in here believes those things. Is that not right? God's a healer. The Bible's true. But hope does the same thing. I believe every bit of it. I believe that's God's word. I believe that God will keep his promise. Hope believes all of that. But hope then says, now I believe God will heal me, but look at my condition. That's hope. Hope is God. I could ask you right now, how many believes God's a healer? Probably everybody in this building raise their hand. How many believes God's a deliverer? God's a savior. God gives the Holy Ghost. We'll all raise our hand. How many believes God will give it to you? How many believes God heals all of our diseases? Oh yeah. How many believe God heals yours? I don't know. That's hope. That's hope. Hope believes the Bible. Hope believes it's true. Hope believes he's a healer. But then hope says, but the doctor said. Well, I don't want to destroy the confidence in your doctors, but you know, they can be wrong. Out of 100 doctors that graduate, somebody finished last. Amen. Out of those 100 doctors, one of them's daddy was the dean. I don't want to hurt your feelings, but it might be your doctor. But there you go to doctors. Sure, I go to doctors. Don't you? I go to doctors. But when the doctor says he can't help me, I know somebody who can. When the doctor said your daughter will never see again, I know somebody who said she could. When he said she'd never walk again, I know somebody who said she could. Hallelujah. And I chose to believe him. I chose to believe what he said over what the doctor said. Amen. Hallelujah. Hope believes all that, but then hope says, I believe God will heal, but look at my condition. That's what hope does. But faith. Faith don't look at that. Faith comes around and says, I don't care nothing about the condition. God said so and it's mine. Healing is mine. Joy is mine. The Holy Ghost is mine. Victory is mine. All mine. Amen. Faith is burly. As I once said, faith has hair on its chest. When it stands up and pulls out them big muscles out, everything else vanishes away. It just flies away. When faith really takes hold, nothing else stands. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you believe it and take God at his word and say it so, believe it so, and God will bring it to pass. Amen. Jesus promised he would heal us. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. And when you pray, believe that you receive what you ask for, and you shall receive it. Amen. Like Sister Vera that I was talking about this morning. When she came up for prayer and she turned around and walked off the same way that she came up. And the doctor said, you couldn't even help her. And I said, I'm not the healer. Jesus Christ is the healer. He just told me to lay hands on the sick. I did what he told me to do. The rest is up to him. 1 year later, I was back down in Alton, Missouri. Alton, Missouri is exactly 19 miles from nowhere. It's way out in the sticks. If you don't believe me, ask Victoria. She knows. And the next year I was back down there and this sister came in carrying deer meat and she went out and she came in carrying mashed potatoes and she went out and she came in carrying something else and I said, do I know you? She said, yes, you do. I said, was you here last year when I preached? She said, yes, I was. I said, didn't you have a stroke and like you was paralyzed on your right side? She said, yes, I was. I said, you're doing real good now. She said, yes, I am. And from the day she died just about 6-7 months ago, up till the day she died, she had full use of all limbs and talked perfectly normal, because that's the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ask anything in my name and I'll do it. When you pray, believe that you receive it. What you ask for, you shall have it. It's yours. Believe that it'll come to pass. Now remember, if we pray and ask God sincerely, this church, you're a unit. We're together. If we ask God sincerely, then God's obligated to take care of what we ask for. Is that right? If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Is that the truth? Is that the truth? Am I quoting you the Bible? God's word don't lie. Not 99 times out of 100, but 100 times out of 100. God will keep his word. This is the word of God. All he's asking us to do is believe it. If thou can believe, all things are possible to them that believe. He never said, did you feel it? But he did say, did you believe it? Then I say, if you believe that, then take your faith and meet whatever it is that's bothering you in Jesus' name. When a demon-possessed man who lived among the tombs and cut himself day and night, when in the bondage of chains and the afflictions met the cry of faith, freedom and deliverance came. When snake venom met faith, the poison was gone. When lions met faith, they purred like kittens. When fire met faith, the heat and the smoke was annihilated. When death met faith, life came forth. When sickness met faith, the bleeding stopped. When walls met faith, the walls fell down. When bondage met faith, the chains were broken. All examples in the Bible, all examples in the Bible, what God will do for you. It is no secret what God will do. What he's done for others, he'll do also for you. Then I ask you, amen, whatever's bothering you, whatever the circumstance may be, whatever the bondage is, whatever the sickness is, whatever it may be, whatever the fear is, whatever the oppression is, whatever the lie the devil's trying to get you to swallow, what's going to happen when it meets your faith? When you believe, not the pastor, not the song leader, but when you, the individual, believe what the word says about you and have faith in the God who made that promise to you. When he said, as the seed of Abraham, possess the gates. Possess the gate of his enemies. Then I want the devil to know tonight, he is not the gatekeeper. He cannot lock me out. But I can lock him out. He don't have the key. He don't have the keys. You do. When we came back, I'm closing. When we went back down to Siskin Hospital down in Chattanooga, Tennessee, for a checkup of Jessica. And when we left, they were still saying she couldn't see. But when we went back and we got off on the fifth floor of the elevator, when they opened the door and the people said, oh, Jessica, Jessica. And they all come running. And they said, can she see? Can she see? And I took my keys and I pitched them out on the floor. And I said, Kai, pick up Daddy's keys. Oh, friends, when she went over and picked up those keys, they began to scream and jump and hugging our necks and laughing and crying, because a girl who left blind could now see. You see, she picked up those keys because she believed her daddy. She believed she could pick them up because her daddy said so. On the day of Pentecost, oh my, Jesus said to Peter, pick up the keys. Pick up the keys, Peter. I've given you the authority. Whatever you bind on earth, I'll bind it in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. You see, the person who holds the key holds the authority. And the key has been given into the hand of the church today. You possess the key, the gate of the enemy. You can lock Satan out with your faith. So I say to you, my brother, my sister, whatever is bothering you, what's going to happen when it meets your faith? When you tell the devil, sit down and shut up. Amen. Well, Brother Darrell, we tell our kids not to say shut up. Well, I'm sorry. Tell him to hush. Tell him something. I said tell him something. People come in prayer lines all the time and they say, the devil said this and the devil said that and the devil said this and the devil said that. And I'm thinking, why do you listen to him? You know he's a liar. They can tell you more what the devil said than what God can say. We should never say what the devil said. You're speaking the devil. Well, I'm no good. Nobody loves me. Nobody. You're speaking the devil's language. You need to say what God said. By faith in the word, God said I'm an overcomer. God said I'm a son of God. God said I'm predestinated. God sent Elijah to me. Who did Elijah come to? He came to you. Behold, I, that's God, send you. Who did he come to? You. Elijah, the prophet. Oh, seed of Abraham. This is our God-given privilege. Take your faith and meet tonight whatever's bothering you. And the same God who took the poison out of the venom can take the sting out of oppression, depression, addiction. There is nothing too hard for my God. I was in, I'm closing. Brother, sister, come. Come, I'm closing. I was in surgery one time. I'll tell you this man's name because I know you don't know him. He's done gone to glory now. His name was Rufus Bunch. He was a Baptist preacher. And Rufus Bunch had threw a blood clot and killed 90% of his bowel. When he came into surgery for surgery, 90% of his bowel was dead. We took so much of bowel out of this man's body. It stunk so bad. It had been dead like 4 days. It stunk so bad we had to put on 2 masks with wintergreen oil mint that smell just to stay in the room. That's how bad the smell was. And we took this man's bowel out, and they put a bag on his side. And he had so little bowel that this man would drink and it almost instantly go out his bowel bag. That's how much bowel we took out of this man's body. And Dr. Evans was on the case, and I was working the case with Dr. Evans. And Dr. Evans said, this man is a dead man. There is no way this man can live. And I was sitting there and I thought to myself, I said, that's true, Lord. There is no way this man could live. And I no sooner said that. There's a warm feeling come over me. And a voice spoke to me. It said, is there anything too hard for God? And I said, no, Lord. There is nothing too hard for you. That man lived. He lived 10 years. And about a year or so later, I saw him in the canteen. I worked at the VA hospital. And I saw him in the canteen, and I sat down at his table. I said, Mr. Bunch, you don't know me, but I was on your case. And I told him just what I told you. And me and him both sat there and cried like babies. Because no matter how bad it looks, it is not too hard for my God. He can do anything. Oh, seed of Abraham, possess the gate of your enemy tonight. What's going to happen when whatever it is that's bothering you meets faith? Look at the example in God's word. If he done it for them, he'll do it for you. Do you love him? Let's bow our heads.
It is no secret what God can do. What he's done for us, he'll do for you. With arms wide for you.
me and Sora went over to the old Tucson movie set. Just got out yesterday morning to look around a little bit. Beautiful day. While I was there, I got a text. Don't even know who it was from. Said, "Is this Brother Darrell?" I said, "Yes." Said, "Brother Darrell, would you pray for me that God will heal my eyes?" I said, "Yes, I will." I said, "God healed Jessica's eyes. If he done it for Jessica, he can do it for you." So right there, we just bowed our head, just prayed for this person. I still don't know who it is. But I got a text this morning. Said, "Brother Darrell, God's healing me. I can see the clock on the wall." That's the kind of God we serve. If he can do it for this woman down in Louisiana, or the man, or whoever it would be, he can do that for you. All he's asking you to do is to believe him. If thou can believe, the Bible said they shall lay their hands upon the sick and they shall recover. Hallelujah. I was down in Arkansas just in February, Brother Ben Pruitt's church, and a brother came up at the end of the service. He grabbed me, gave me a big hug. He was crying. He said, "Brother Darrell, you was here 2 years ago. I was in complete heart failure, and you and the saints prayed for me. And I went back to the doctor, and the doctor said, your heart's so good, you don't even have to take medicine." He was so happy. That's the kind of God that we serve. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother James Tidwell had a tumor in his ear. 3 years he had wrestled with this. It would scab over and bleed and scab over and bleed. He said he was ashamed because it always looked like his ear was dirty and he was always self-conscious. He put everything on it just trying to believe God for his healing. At the BYC camp several years ago, we had a mass prayer for everybody at the camp that had a need. And Brother James Tidwell, being a minister, came up and put his arms on the brothers and the young people, the brothers and sisters, and just the congregation praying for the needs of the young people. And Brother James come up and laid his hands upon the brothers to pray with them. He goes home that night and goes to bed. He gets up the next morning, looks in the mirror, and the tumor that was in his ear is completely gone. There's not a scar. There's not a scab. It's gone. I had a cancer come up in my left ear. I went to the doctor. They cut a hole in my ear so big you could read the Constitution through it. It's left a terrible scar. And I thought, that's right. When man cuts a tumor out, it leaves a scar. But when God does it, he don't even leave a scar. If he can do that for those folks, he can do it for you. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you have a need, high blood, low blood, no blood, it don't matter to God. Arthritis, sugar, diabetes, glaucoma, it don't matter. Fear, anxiety, oppression, depression, addiction, whatever it would be tonight, it don't matter. Our God is greater. He's greater than any problem. He's greater than any need. And all he asks us to do, he never asks for our money. He just asks you to believe him. If thou can believe, and tonight, whatever your need would be, I wonder if you would just raise your hand and say, "Lord, I believe tonight. I believe for that wayward daughter. I believe for that wayward son. I believe for my husband tonight. I believe for my wife tonight. Lord, I've got this need in my body. Lord, I've got this fear of cancer." Whatever it would be tonight, friends, I don't know. But you see, I don't have to know because he already knows. And he's here tonight. His word says he's here, and I believe him. It's already paid for. You don't have to argue. You don't have to debate. You can walk out that door free. Like that young girl up in Chebec, Alaska, who was an alcoholic. She said, "I've tried everything." I said, "Sis, have you tried Jesus?" I said, "You leave your alcohol right here and walk out free." And we began to pray for that young girl. I'll never forget it. She began to scream to the top of her lungs, "I'm free. I'm free. I'm free." And I was just there a couple of years ago, and she came up to me. She said, "Brother Darrell, it's been 2 years and I'm still sober, because you see, whom the Son hath made free is free indeed." And if you're here tonight and you have a need, why don't you just stand, would you? Just stand to your feet tonight. If you have a need and you believe that God, the God you serve, is able to meet that need tonight, I want you to stand. You say, oh, Brother Darrell, it's so little. It don't matter how big or how little. It don't matter to God. He's the healer of our bodies and the sustainer of our souls. And I love him. He's been so good to us. Amen. Now here's what I want you to do. The Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. And we are the body of Christ represented on the earth today. And when you lay hands, oh, when you lay hands on that person beside you, it's just the same as Jesus laying hands on them. When Jessica was hurt so bad and she's on life support, I went down to the chapel there at the hospital and I got on my face. I laid there on the floor and I said, Lord, if you was here like you were 2,000 years ago, I said, all I'd have to do is touch the hem of your garment and I could get up and go up there and take my baby home. I said, but Lord, you're not here like that in that body called Jesus. You're not here like that today like you was 2,000 years ago. And while I was laying there, something just spoke to my heart and said, but my bride is here. If you've touched her, you've touched me. I jumped off that floor because I realized all I had to do was get the bride of Jesus Christ to come and pray for my daughter. It was just the same as Jesus. Because the only hands he has is your hands. The only eyes he has in this day is your eyes. The only lips he has is your lips. And why don't you let the Holy Spirit flow through you tonight? Just reach over, take a hold of the person beside you. Brother to brother, sister to sister, family to family, however it would be. Just lay hands on one another now. Would you do it? And we're going to have a word of prayer. And you believe tonight. You believe tonight that you are a surrendered vessel that God can flow through. Be a conduit, be a channel that the Holy Spirit can flow through to meet the need of your brother and your sister. Because they're not heavy. They're not heavy. They're your brother. They're your sister. Do you love him tonight? Do you believe him tonight? Then let's just pray together. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you tonight. God, this little simple thought, dear God, of your word, yet it's true, Lord. No matter how revelated it would be, how deep it would be, however simple it would be, it's still your word, and your word does not fail. God, you've done it for Daniel. You've done it for the Hebrew children. Hallelujah. You've done it for Paul. Oh, God, if you've done it for them, you can do it for us. You've done it for Rahab. Hallelujah. You've done it for the centurion. Gave him his family. Oh, God, that's the kind of God you are tonight. And we stand here. We serve the same God. Hallelujah. We serve the same God tonight. And we believe that you've not been weakened by this age. You've not been weakened by the unbelief of this nation. We believe you're still God. We believe you still keep your promise. And we bow our heads before the dust you brought us from. And in reverence tonight, in obedience to your word, we lay our hands upon one another. And we ask, dear God, that you would come and confirm your word to my brother and to my sister. Let fear leave. Let oppression leave. Let depression leave. Whatever it would be tonight, high blood, low blood, glaucoma, arthritis, whatever it would be tonight, back trouble, leg trouble, shoulder trouble, hand trouble, family trouble, marital trouble, job trouble, financials, whatever it would be tonight, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, by the same anointing that raised my Lord from the grave. Hallelujah. May it move tonight upon every family, upon every heart, upon every home. And Satan, I stand here as a son of God, and I rebuke you tonight, and I say, come out of the people in the name of Jesus Christ. You're defeated. God, my Lord, defeated you at Calvary. He broke your back. You have no hold over us. You have no hold over us, but we have the victory over you, and we rebuke you tonight and denounce you tonight to leave these people in the name of Jesus Christ. For whom the Son has made free is free indeed. I am free by the blood of the Lamb of God. I am delivered. I am healed. I am saved. Oh, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus Christ. That's what I believe. That's what I stand on. And my body will obey my confession. If it's tonight or tomorrow or next week, I will be found believing. Oh, Holy Spirit, flow through us tonight. Meet the needs of my brothers. Meet the needs of our sisters, Lord. Grant it, oh God. Grant it, oh God, tonight. May the barriers be broke. May they reach out and receive it, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, that wonderful name, Jesus, hallelujah. 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 I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the church said. And the church said. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, God bless you, saints. Isn't he wonderful tonight? Amen. Hallelujah. There is no secret greater what God can do. Sing it now as our brother comes. Let's just worship him. There is no secret what God. Yes, Lord.
He'll do for you. With arms wide open, he'll pardon you. It is no secret what God can do.
He's the miracle worker. Amen. Worship him just a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Lyrics for Wayne.